Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is urging his country's citizens to do everything they can to get through the winter.
This autumn, a lot was done to strengthen the position of the state and to make the occupier lose. We must do everything so that the same can be said after this winter. Ukrainians worked around the clock to restore normalcy after the Russian strikes. And no matter how large scale the terror of the occupiers was, a desire to restore everything in our home was always even greater. It should continue to be so.
He asked Ukrainians to help each other.
To get through this winter, we need to help each other more than ever and care for each other even more. And please don't ask if you can help and how. Just help when you see you can. To get through the winter, we must be more resilient and more united than ever. No internal conflicts and strife, which can weaken us all, can be allowed.
In Kherson, Alexander Stupin, a spokesman for the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, says Russian strikes on the city have been relentless.
Over the past 24 hours, the enemy launched 10 rocket and 16 airstrikes, as well as more than 30 attacks from rocket salvo systems on the positions of our troops and settlements along the contact line. Objects of civilian infrastructure in the Shevchenkov settlements of the Kharkiv region and Kramatorsk in the Donetsk region were hit by rockets.
He adds that Russian troops have been shelling Dnipropetrovsk as well.
The occupiers are also defending in the Kherson direction. They are shelling the positions of our troops, as well as populated areas of the Dnipropetrovsk and Kherson regions, with mortars, barrel and rocket artillery. The fire terror of the civilians of Kherson does not stop.
Taken by Russia early in the war, parts of the Kherson region were held by Russia until November, when Ukrainians swept the area, regaining control of the main city and other Russian-controlled zones. Alexander Stupin claims that between the 28th and 30th of November, Ukrainian forces have killed 230 Russian soldiers and injured 70 others. He says Russian troops have been looting and robbing Ukrainian locals in the areas they occupy.
Looting and robbery of the local population continues in the territories temporarily occupied by enemy troops. From the local shops of Novokakovka, the Russian invaders take away all goods and equipment, including freezers and cash registers. And in Novomykolaivka, Zaporizhia region, occupiers numbering up to 100 people on December 2nd this year organized a check of documents of local residents and seizure of personal valuables and household appliances.
Meanwhile, Ukrainian families waited in bitter cold for their loved ones to cross from the Russian-held bank of the Dnipro River to Kherson. Mikhailo Mikhailov is a 55-year-old Kherson resident and says he's lucky to be alive after his home was struck by Russian artillery.
I just went to sleep, but was not sleeping yet when I heard the strike, the explosion, and then piles of glass fell down on my bed. Half of my house doesn't exist anymore. There is no windows, no glass, and there, even half of the roof was destroyed.
Military officials warn fighting in the area could intensify and say they'll temporarily lift a ban on crossings to help the evacuation of citizens from the Russian-occupied territory on the East Bank. Under the three-day amnesty, which began on Saturday, Ukrainians living in villages across the river can traverse the Dnipro during daylight hours and to a designated point. But as the amnesty's second day neared its end, there had not been a single crossing. Around 20 people waited gloomily with a group of soldiers and an ambulance at Kherson's river port to the constant sound of shelling nearby. 40-year-old Olena says she's waiting for her 10-year-old daughter.
I came here from Germany. I was in Germany and came here because I wanted to take her with me. However, I can't take her with me to Germany anymore. If I could at least cross the river to get to the Russian-controlled territory to see my daughter.
Olena had traveled to Germany for work just days before Russia invaded Ukraine in February and hasn't seen her daughter since. She says Russian troops have been kidnapping Ukrainian children.
The school there, they say, was mined, and the children in the neighbouring village, they say, were stolen, moved there to Russia by force. So my family didn't go to that neighbouring village. They say they have a Russian school there now, but I actually don't know anything about what is happening there.
In Germany, some 150 pro-Russia demonstrators met fierce opposition from counter-protesters when they took to the streets of Cologne, demanding an end to arms exports to Ukraine and a ban of NATO. Cologne police spokesman Christoph Gillet says the demonstration was organized by a private individual.
There are several demonstrations happening, one pro-Russian and organized by a private individual. They were intent on marching across Deutz Bridge towards the city center with 2,000 participants. The other is a counter-demonstration organized by the left-wing Spectrum, an alliance of action groups opposing the pro-Russian demo.
Gegen diese pro-russische Demonstration agitiert.
Placards among the pro-Russia demonstrators had slogans in German such as "Arms exports ignite World War III," while the counter-demonstrators carried a large banner reading "Nazis out, Cologne remains anti-fascist." The protests came 2 days after German Chancellor Olaf Scholz urged Russian President Vladimir Putin by phone to find a diplomatic solution to the Ukraine conflict. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.